Bryce Wilson coming home. Swing, fly ball, deep left field. Yelich back to the wall. There it goes. Grand slam, Joey Bart. And the Pirates beating up on the Brewers in Milwaukee. Oh, that feels good. It's 8-2. There's an 0-1 to Rowdy. Swing, fly ball, deep right field against the lefty. Rowdy Tellez hits it into the Pirates bullpen. Home run number 8. You stay hot, Rowdy. It's 9-2, Pirates.
I'll tell you who was kind of turned on for ball. It's Joe Block. Stay hot, Rowdy.
Feels good. It's 8-2. Oh, that feels good. Oh. It's 8-2.
When you pee in the closet.
Oh, that feels good.
You just really got to go.
It's 8-2.
And we're back and rolling. Pirates, they score a lot of runs. Pirates, they hit 5 homers. But I wanted to start, Noren, with Rowdy Tellez. It's unbelievable. On June 1st, he was hitting 177 with a 463 OPS. He's now up to 249 with a 698 OPS. Our guy Rowdy's about to have a 700 OPS. Our guy Rowdy's about to go over 250. Our guy Rowdy is one of the best hitters in the National League for the last month plus.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember a turnaround like this in Pittsburgh sports. And you can text us at 412-928-9370 and remind me of one. Maybe you have one, Doran. I cannot think of someone who was hated and then turn it around quite like this guy.
I can't off the cuff. I'll think of it as the time goes on, and maybe we could come up with one. But alongside of his hitting, on Monday, did you see his fielding?
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you watched the game on Monday, but, I mean, his fielding has been absolutely unbelievable, too. I was at the game on 4th of July against the Cardinals. And I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for Rowdy to come up. And I'm like, you know, my ears start to perk up a little bit because I want to hear if people are going to give him the boos or the ahs or, oh, Rowdy's all Rowdy, because I know he's been playing very well. I mean, this is just last week. All of a sudden I hear, Rowdy, 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 Rowdy. And I'm like, wow, everything has changed. Everything has changed, and he's changed it. You know, things haven't changed just because for Rowdy Tellez, but he has personally made a 180. Like, he's made a full turnaround, and good on him for doing that. And, you know, he could have easily spiraled down the drain by everybody almost hating him that's a Pirate fan. And now he is one of the bright spots and really a component of keeping them alive right now.
Yeah, he is. He is. And they are staying alive. It is very weird, this baseball team. We'll lose 2, win 2. They have not won 3 games in a row since May 6th. They have not lost 3 games in a row since May 10th. I get a text from my one friend, Tom, every time they lose a game, and when they lose 2 in a row, I'll get the text. Season's done. Season's over. Met series, season's over. They lose those 2 in a row after the home run outburst. And then they'll win the next day, and they'll win 2 in a row. Season's back on. And we've done that for 2 months. They're only 3 games back in the wild card race right now. It's incredible. But to your point about Rowdy, he deserves a lot of credit because you can't get lower than he was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you're underperforming on the field. It's that he opened his mouth and defended a teammate. And I think fans took that the wrong way. And then he went out there and stunk. I mean, one of the worst players in baseball, offensively, defensively, just total package of suck.
Yes.
And now he's been unbelievable to the point where his numbers have been legitimized. If you just look at his numbers right now and you're passing by, you're a White Sox fan and you're about to do the Pirates scout for the next series. I don't know why you'd still be watching if you're a White Sox fan. You go, oh, that Rowdy guy's having a season. He's having a season.
Yep.
Not bad, not good. A month and 10 days ago, he was one of the worst players in baseball. I thought of a guy. A couple guys that it's different but similar.
Uh-huh.
Like Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mason went from...
They're in the same realm, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thing about Mason is he was still really liked by some who thought he could do it, like the Mark Caballis of the world.
And Chris Hoke.
Chris Hoke, our former cohort here, Chris Mack. Like, there were some truthers out there for Mason Rudolph. Nobody was really caping for Sawinski. Another one that comes to mind, like Fleury really stunk in the playoffs for 3 or 4 years, and a lot of folks would kill him. And then he became the most popular guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of those analogies are perfect, but there's a couple of guys that kind of turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's done a fantastic job. I mean, really. So, yeah, it is amazing, though, that, like, they're right in the middle, and I don't know how to feel. Like, I said this last week. Like, I just don't know how to feel. And you were hoping, whenever you left, that we'd come back and the Pirates would be on the plus side of their record. And, you know, they do things like last night. And it's not frustrating, but it's like, oh, don't tease me again. Because tonight they'll go out there and they'll lose 12-2. Like, that's just where they're at. And you would love to see them have the ability to pull away. And it just seems like every time they get that chance and you feel like they have that chance to pull away, they go backwards. And it's very frustrating. It really is. And you would just love to see them put it all together, and they haven't done that at all.
Wehner called this a while back with us. They pitch well enough to not get into the doldrums, and they hit poorly enough to where they can't go on these long, pronounced winning streaks. And this kind of game yesterday is the one that feels so good, but then it's also really frustrating, to your point, because you hit 5 homers in a game and you win by 10 runs. Well, spread it out a little bit. Like that same against the Mets when Skeens is on the mound and you score 14 runs and you hit 7 home runs. And the next couple of days, you can't hit at all. It does not make any sense. Now, Brian Reynolds has been the exception. I feel like O'Neill Cruz is coming around before the hamstring injury. But you go out there and you bop the way these guys did yesterday. And I don't think it would shock anybody if they got one hit tonight.
Right.
And they sent down Oliveras.
And Palacios is, you know, I think that he's warranted. And he's been on the same momentum as he carried from whenever he was playing in AAA.
Yes.
And I think that that's a little bright spot right now.
A little Nick Gonzalez-esque shot in the arm.
Yes.
I like that. I was a little bit surprised that Michael A. Taylor wasn't the move, but they love him so much defensively. Joey Bart has been a big help. I mean, Joey Bart is a positive offensive player. You can't say that about any of the other catchers. In a way, it's kind of a miracle when you look even at the lineup they threw out there last night that these guys are just three games back. Right? Like, if you would have told me coming into the year that coming into the year, I would have thought Jack Sawinski would be good, but Jared Triola is playing short. Michael A. Taylor's hitting 201, and those. So here are the averages: 186, 241, 203, 201, 249, 278, 267, 280. If you would have told me that that's the averages of the dudes in the lineup on July 9th, happy birthday to my sister, by the way. It was her birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah. If you would have told me that's the averages of the Pirates lineup, I would have said they're 10, 15 games under 500.
Yes.
Because coming into the year, we all kind of thought that the rotation would not be great and that they'd be able to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and it's really been the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Priester, by the way. Good for you, Quinn.
He needed that.
Oh, did he?
I was so close last night, you know, early on in the game, where to say, I think Quinn Priester's not a major league pitcher. I almost sent it. And then I fell asleep. And then I wake up and I hear Brown or Block, one of them, whoever was doing the TV, like, Quinn Priester, my goodness, he's having a fantastic game. And I was like, oh, he must have turned it around. Look at that. Thank God I didn't tweet that.
You know, we've all tweeted things we wish we could take back. Some of us have boycotted chicken wings in our very own town.
Yes.
Crushing the Pittsburgh economy while we were trying to hurt Buffalo. Quinn Priester gave them exactly what they needed.
Yep.
Because Fleming did not. I thought that they would probably go Fleming a couple of innings, Priester for like 4, and then Fleming walked 3 guys in the first inning, so that doesn't go according to the plan. Then you get the 2-run cushion because what a shot by Brian Reynolds.
Oh, my God.
He's so good.
He is.
Let's talk more about him coming up in the next segment because I got a lot to say about Brian Reynolds. But he gives up the 2 spot there and after, And I thought, this guy sucks. They hadn't won a game that Quinn Priester had appeared in this year.
Yep.
And I think they were 0 for their last 11 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And credit where credit's due, he shut it down. And you're going to have one more hole in the rotation before the All-Star game. And if they need to bullpen it again, if it's Quinn Priester, I don't know exactly what the plan's going to be. That's probably what it is. I think he showed you, okay, you can get away with it. And, hey, maybe if the offense puts up 12 runs, that happens. That helps as well.
For sure.
All right. Coming up next, do want to talk a little bit about Brian Reynolds. And can the Buccos win 3 games in a row? Can we put some juju out there to get them to 3 straight wins? You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. Where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. All right, got my first. Hey, Crowley, come look at this. From Callis, since I've been back, and it's been 40 minutes of radio program. And it was where we go to log all of our hours if we are part-time, but you and I are full-time.
Mm-hmm.
It flipped over for Callis, and now he doesn't have to type anything in.
There you go. No
That's
more time.
That's a salary, Nicholas Harry Callis. Let's go.
I love the feeling.
You should love the feeling. Even if you, and I, we don't need to talk about this on the air, but even if you got not a dollar more, and it was the same exact fee, just saving yourself 15 minutes a week from doing that is at least an improvement.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a text at 412-928-9370. Men don't refer to sandals or flip-flops as open-toed shoes. That's how women refer to them.
Oh. I know what you meant, though.
Yeah, they're shoes with open toes. I'm wearing them again.
He slammed his foot on the table.
My foot, that shoe is the same one, that floppy. That open toe shoe is the same one of the two that I wore inside the the starboard at Dewey Beach. So Starkey doesn't know it yet, but now there's a little bit of gonorrhea on the desk.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bring your penicillin today.
Toe jam, gonorrhea.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Athlete's foot. Well, you just got foot.
Just foot.
you got the foot. Like the bad guys in Ninja Turtles. Foot.
Swimmers? No, just ear. He doesn't swim. He's from the shower. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Something that we will get into a little bit later in the show, but give you some time to vote on this. Fill in the blank. The Pirates' first half has been blank. Good, disappointing, what I expected, or other. And other has a write-in option. Dorn, would you like to answer quickly before we talk about it full form later in the program?
That's kind of my answer.
That's a good write-in.
That's kind of where I'm at. I feel like they could take advantage. I feel like they didn't do the proper procedures in the offseason. And now they're stuck in a position where they know they need to add, but it's tough to add because everybody needs to
add.
And they can't get the proper bats or get another pitcher to put on this roster whenever they could have did that in the offseason, knowing that they had a 1-1 pick, knowing that Paul Skenes was going to be pretty good because you obviously do your due diligence of young prospects. They knew Skenes was going to be good. They just didn't know when.
Yes.
They knew he was going to be up. They just didn't know when. And they should have anticipated him being what he is at some point this year and surrounded him with better players whenever they had the opportunity to. Now they're stuck.
I heard Zangrilli say this, that they kind of got caught with their pants down, and I agree with that. That while they talked a big game last year about this season.
Window.
This will be the window, right? They didn't act like it this offseason because I don't think they truly believed that they could be a contender. And now people are going to talk about the deadline. That's a really good point by you. We'll see what happens at the deadline, and we'll get into the John Parrotto story coming up at 7 o'clock. But it really was the offseason that will have cost them if they don't make it. And then 3 series pop into my mind. The Mets series, where you come out and you blow the doors off, and then you blow a game with Aroldis Chapman on the mound. You could have won 3 out of 4 against them. The Cardinals series that preceded that, they could have won 2 of 3. They lost 2 out of 3. The Cardinals series, there's 4 series that come to mind. The Cardinals series where they had the bad lineup in game 3 of the series.
Giants.
And then the Giants series, yeah. Where they could have swept them.
Yep.
Probably didn't deserve to win the first game, but did, and should have at least taken 2 out of 3.
They hit a grand slam
in back-to-back
each of
games.
The games that they lost.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least they've won their grand slam games of late. Joey Bart yesterday, and then
Rowdy.
Two of them.
Rowdy?
Rowdy hit a grand slam.
When?
Against the Mets that first game Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So finally, they're on the right side of grand slam, grand slams. You're winning your grand slam games, which that's, I mean, it's crazy. I did want to just talk about and touch on Brian Reynolds here. Brian Reynolds, not that long ago, I've been very good for this year. Not very long ago, I said, this guy ain't even close to worth the money. $100 million man. You know, forget $100 million in baseball, which doesn't really get you much. He wasn't living up to that threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the Pirates and you pay $100 million to one guy, you need that guy to be a star. He's played himself onto the cusp of stardom. I mean, he is an all-star and a deserving one at that. And he's a rare, well-rounded player.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a good outfield. He's hitting .280. He's got now 17 home runs. He drives in runs. He's really, really good. And he's always been good in June. That's carrying over into July. And here's the thing about this guy now, man. It needs to continue. He's not going to be as good as he was in July the rest of the year, but can you be a reasonable facsimile? Because if you are and the pitching can maintain, well, that's going to go a long way to deciding whether or not you can slide your way in.
And just like you said, he has been. I mean, I know it's been, 10 days into July, but he has been. You know, there's a couple games in there where he didn't have a hit, but I mean, he just went on a 25-game hitting streak. But, you know, he's back to hitting home runs. He's back to getting hits, and he hasn't missed a game. I believe he has not missed one game this year.
He hasn't missed a game.
Not one game. Everybody else has missed a game.
You know what, Doran? You said in the first segment that when the Pirates score the amount of runs that they did last night, it's a great thing to say, and it's also annoying because you know it's in there. I don't want to take away from how special it is that Brian Reynolds plays every game, but I think he's also showing that it's possible to play every game.
Yes, that too, right.
So it's super cool, but it's also frustrating that a guy like Nick Gonzalez will be given a getaway day off.
Yes.
And like McCutchen wasn't in there yesterday, and I understand Cruz with the hammy, but these guys can play more than they are. And the line to get in is razor thin. Again, they're suddenly just 3 games back again in this wild card race. When we come back, I want to touch on there's a lot of Pirate stuff that I have had on. Pirates blue balls. Am I allowed to say that, Callis? I don't know. But I do. I have take back up here. A lot of folks, I was reading the notes that we get emailed out to us from the shows. Are the Pirates buyers? Should they stand pat? Are they sell? Are we out of our ever-loving minds? Are we out of our minds? They're buyers. They got to be buyers. I don't care if you don't, like, I think they had a 6% chance of making the playoffs 2 days ago. Okay, it's a small chance. You can improve your chances for this year and also add a piece or two that can be around for your quote-unquote window. It doesn't have to be a rental. Buy, it's just another window to augment your roster. I don't get it.
Buy, they gotta be buyers.
Well, you can only buy whenever the grocery store is selling.
Now that's true.
Food.
That much I'll agree with. You're going to see deals get made, to your point, for guys that are good, and the return is going to be astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. But do you need a star? No. You got to get better. Next year, when they take the field on opening damn day, I don't want to see holes in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean stars. That doesn't mean 35 home run dudes. It doesn't have to mean Vlad Guerrero Jr. or the guy from the White Sox who we're going to get a good look at this weekend. It doesn't mean that. But can it be a 725 OPS guy? Because if you had 3 more of those, you're in a playoff spot right now. And the opportunity might present itself at the deadline to get someone like that with a couple of years of control that is not going to be highly sought after. And maybe you got to part with a little bit more than you'd like, but at least show that you're going for it.
A rental is out of the discussion.
I would not add a rental.
No. You need somebody that's going to be around.
Yes. That much I will meet you on where I've changed my tune. Before I left for my peeing in the closet hiatus, I thought, okay, add a rental or two. Because the cost probably not going to be all that much. It may well be. Now I want someone who can help and give you a shot to make the playoffs this year, but also someone who will be around for the next year or two.
Yes.
That you need to build a roster over next offseason. And this is another opportunity where there's going to be some roster shakeups that I don't want to see the Pirates miss out on. That's all. But anybody who thinks they should stand pat, I hate that. I hate that. And the selling thing, I think you can be creative. We'll get into it more in depth at 7 o'clock, but if you aren't willing to spend a lot of money, you can move a $10.5 million contract off the books in an Aroldis Chapman, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be amenable to...
And I have somebody else in mind, too. We brought up a couple weeks ago, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, I like it. Someone to trade off the current roster.
Yep.
Zeiss is all in on Keller, trading Keller.
No.
Okay, good. I didn't want to fight with you that hard on day number one.
No.
All right, coming up next... Chris Sale of Atlanta is going to start on Sunday. He's an option to start the All-Star game. Well, no longer. Tyler Glass now, another option to start the All-Star game. He's now on the IL. There's good news that comes with that, and there's a little bit of bad news that comes with that. We'll tell you about that when we come back. So Tyler Glass now of the Dodgers was placed on the IL. He was a possibility to start the All-Star game. So... we're a little excited. Paul Skeen's got a good shot at starting this thing. But there is some bad news. Hunter Green of the Reds was named the replacement for Tyler Glasnow, who's got a 3.45 ERA, 104 innings, 5-4 record. Good year for Hunter Green. Mitch Keller has a lower ERA, more innings pitched, and he's 10-5. So I don't get it.
Right.
I don't really understand. I also don't understand this little sabermetric element of the thing. Mitch Keller, again, more innings and a lower ERA, yet his WAR number is 2.2 and Hunter Green's is 3.2. Somebody in the baseball nerd world text us at 412-928-9370. How in the world Mitch Keller has better numbers, has pitched more innings, has a lower ERA, and has a lower WAR number? It's not like these guys are hitting. It's not like Hunter Green's up there like with the stick hammering home runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that his WAR is lower because some of his like bad games were worse than Hunter Green's worst games, even though he ended up pitching better.
That's as good an explanation as I could hope.
I also wonder how many Reds are on the All-Star roster. Sometimes they'll make choices just to balance out teams and who represents.
I was going to say that too. I was going to say that with the Pirates.
I'm not saying
two,
it's right,
two
Crowley.
Pirates pitchers, I don't think that they... they want to spread the wealth.
In a perfect world, Keller would be in. Yes. You asked for an explanation.
I'm not arguing with you.
He was about to.
It's too early for that. Check back in around 7:39. I think Skeens should start the All-Star game. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm sure you feel the same way, and Callis feels the same way. There's probably not a person listening to the show here in Pittsburgh that doesn't think that Paul Skeens has done enough to be the starter, but... I'd have thunk it had been announced by now, especially with Glass now going on the IL. And if I'm Rob Manfred, I talk to the NL coaching staff and I say, yo, Skeens is starting this thing.
Yeah, he's our money banker.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Yes. So these are who people want to see. This is why we have All-Star games. This is why that, you know, you put the best players on TV and have a break to so everybody can focus on that. Because Paul Skeens, you know, said it yesterday, and it's not something that I just came up with, but whenever you have a guy that's a young pitcher that a rival crowd stands up and cheers for whenever he walks off the mound, that's a guy I want in my All-Star game to start.
Yeah.
That's what people want to see. People went to the Cardinals game to see him, and then they cheered because of his performance, even though they're cheering against the Pirates.
Yes.
We're cheering for the Pirates.
There are very few needle movers in baseball.
Yes.
You know, football's got wide receivers, quarterbacks, people fawn over. Basketball, it's a game of stars.
Yes.
Baseball's got precious few dudes that people will pay money to go see, who will make it appointment viewing. Now, I could also see if they were trying to make the ratings ploy say, we don't know when Paul Skeens is going to pitch, so why don't you tune in and you're going to have to sit around and wait. But I think it would be awesome to see the top of the order American League lineup going against Skeens. He's not going to throw more than one inning. Have it be the first inning against the top of that lineup and see what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
Because I'll tell you what it's going to look like. Leadoff guy hits a homer. And then after that, he just kicks ass.
Yep. First pitch.
First pitch home run off the foul pole. And then after that, spectacular stuff from Paul Skeens. I think you might see 103 out of Skeens if he's starting the All-Star game. I really do. I can't think of a good reason apart from, hey, keep people more intrigued because he's going to pitch at some point than for him to be the guy. He's not qualified as the NL's ERA leader, but if he had enough innings, he would be. Like, he has been the best pitcher in the National League.
Yep.
He is the betting favorite. This is insane. To win the Cy Young. Have him be the guy. And then you got some of these old baseball talking heads out there. He hasn't earned it.
Right. Get out of here.
Shut the hell up.
Get out of here. What hasn't he earned? What hasn't he earned? I mean, he's gone against the best of the best, too. He's gone against Ohtani. He's gone against the Dodgers. You know, he's pitched, you know, obviously, and there's so many guys. And, I mean, it's not like he's out there, you know, pitching against cleanup, doing cleanup duty against guys that are on the bottom of a lineup.
Right. It's not like he got the White Sox nine times. I mean, he's gone out there against some of the best teams in baseball, and he's never left a game, and the Pirates were trailing. It's not his fault he hasn't made 15 starts.
Here's one I hear all the time. He's got to learn how to pitch.
He knows how to pitch.
Level. Yeah, that's what I'm...
Yeah. He paints corners. He pitches up and down. He mixes pitches in. When the fastball gets hit, he turns to his other stuff, like his splinker. He knows how to pitch. To me, that's the most remarkable thing about Paul Skeens. Isn't that he throws really hard. We knew he could do that. Is it that the stuff moves dramatically? We knew that was going to be the case. It's that, A, they let this guy actually go deeper into ball games than I thought they would. And then, B, he's got a plan B, he's got a plan C, he's got a plan D. He thinks like he's a 15-year veteran. It's incredible.
Well, you put players like that on a pedestal, especially young players like that, because if you want to grow the game and you have young kids watching, you know, I know it's like cliche almost, but they see Paul Skeens and he's 21, 22 years old and is a rookie. And it's like, I want to be Paul Skeens. If you really want to grow the game, and you turn on the TV and you're sitting there with your dad and you're a young kid and you see, you know, number 30 walk on the mound and your dad's like, hey, this kid's a rookie. Watch him pitch. He throws 102 miles per hour. Look at this. He's 6'5". You could be that. And the kid's like, oh, man, I can. Like, if you really want to grow the game, and I know that it's like, okay, like whatever, but if you're talking about growing the sport of baseball even more and getting more kids involved, you put him on the mound too. And it's not just about the ratings. It's not just about, you know, the eyeballs. It's not just about him pitching against some of the elite players. It's about him being a young player and dominating and showing other young kids that they could do the same thing, even though that it's way harder.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, but kids will dream to think that they're Paul Skeens.
And I do think he sets a good example.
Yes.
And the warm-up routine is insane.
It's awesome.
It is so cool. He's wearing that back thing and he's swinging. he looks like a crazy person out there, and it works. I mean, he
tosses the football around.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
He throws a good bomb.
He does.
A little touch on that thing. It's special what he does out there before games, and then he takes it out to the mound. I think if you're baseball, you want to capitalize on this. The biggest story in baseball this year was probably the Shohei Ohtani gambling thing. And then right after that, it's Paul Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Skeens is the biggest story of this baseball season. And if you're not going to take the opportunity to have a 1-1 rookie a year after he's drafted start the All-Star game, I think you've missed out significantly. This baseball segment on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Speaking of switch, we're going to switch gears a little bit when we come back. I got to ask you guys something about Sidney Crosby that's been weighing on my mind while I've been off, and then we'll get back into the Buccos and that big John Parado story coming up at 7 o'clock. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Had a nice little life bit going at the beach, Dorn, where at the 50-minute mark of every hour, I would just tell everyone that you got to go to check out South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just wanted to keep the flow of things.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Stay in tune.
Exactly.
Right.
Didn't want to lose my fastball when I came back.
Mm-hmm.
The Penguins have lost their fastball, bad transition, and this roster's not great. Drew O'Connor, Brian Rust are going to flank Crosby, Michael Bunting, Malkin, Raquel. Okay, second line. Third line, Bevilier, Hayes, Pustinen. Fourth line, Lizotte, Eller, Noel Achari. And Sidney Crosby has yet to sign an extension. And Rob Rossi writes that it's in the offing, and I'm not going to doubt Rob. I'm not going to doubt everything I've learned about Crosby over the years. He wants to be here long term. So I don't want to do the thing that the Canadian broadcasters are all doing, which is saying, like, oh, where's he going to wind up? I think he's going to be here. But the question is, like, should he want to be here? Because they're not going to win. They're definitely not winning a cup while he remains. And, man, I think I'd be surprised if they ever win a playoff series with him the next 4 or 5 years. I don't see it, so... to answer my own question, if I were Sid, I think I would test the waters of free agency next year. I really do.
I'd love to give him some truth serum, but I also already kind of know how he operates, and a lot of people do, and how he thinks. I don't think that this situation's about money. I think that he wants to close his career out with one more championship, or at least one more attempt at a championship, a legit opportunity at a championship. And it just, I'm not questioning, like you said, and I said this yesterday too, Rob Rossi's report. I do wonder why it's taken so long.
That's weird.
I do wonder why. Like, you would think that something like that would have been on the forefront of getting done before you add pieces, before free agency hit. It's like, let's get Sid out the way so we can just move on and try to add some pieces to this roster. But as you they are adding pieces to this roster during free agency, if I'm Sid, I'm looking at him like, who? Who? Who?
Blake Lizotte.
$775,000 one-year contract? Like, these are just guys just to fill in. They're like camp bodies. So I'm like, are we really making an attempt to win? And I honestly do think that it's not about money at this point. I think it's like, hey, are we going to make the right moves and put the right roster together to try to win a championship again? Because the time's ticking.
It is absolutely ticking. The back nine of the back nine career, even for a guy who takes care of himself and is as maniacal about it for Crosby, I think the plan for Dubas, and we'll get back to the Pirates coming up at the top of the hour. I think the plan for Dubas was, let's give some one-year contracts this offseason, and then next offseason we'll have more to spend. And that was Jim Rutherford's tact when he took over from Ray Shero. That first year he signed like the Blake Comas of the world, the Steve Downies of the world to these one-year contracts so that then he would have the flexibility when he had taken inventory of everything to make moves later on. I kind of wish this would have been the tact that he did last year.
Yeah.
Like, I would have, if they just would have done the Carlson move, I think they'd be in a much better spot because you get all the bad players out. Carlson wasn't great last year. I still have hope he can get better, but then you don't tie yourself to the Graves of the world and other players of that ilk, like the Acharis, the Nietos, guys who should not be on this roster. I wish that would have been the tack last offseason. Then I think they'd be closer to being a player again. But they're a year away maybe from being a year away now. And if I'm Sid, I think I want to go to like Edmonton or something. Yeah, or Toronto.
Yeah, back to Canada.
Or Montreal. Not to the Rangers. Don't do that. But I think he'll be a Penguin, but I do agree with you that the time he spent away, or excuse me, the time that has passed since we thought this contract would be signed is kind of odd. Because we heard it would be, what, July 1st?
Yeah.
Like, July 1st, new league year, bang. Nah.
What's the motive? Like, that's just my question for Sidney Crosby. Like, is it to win another cup? Is it to have a chance to win another cup? Is it money? Is it finishing as a Pittsburgh Penguin like Mario? Like, what is the actual motive? And for me, I believe it's not about money. It is mostly about finishing as a Penguin, but also it is about trying to win and have an opportunity to win. And you have to be real with yourself sometimes and say, is that opportunity here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, which one outweighs the other one?
Yeah, I think if you want to be a Penguin and finish out your career as a Penguin, it needs to be just about that and a legacy play. Like, yeah. I started here, I'm ending here. But I don't think it can be both. I don't think it can be, I want to be here and win a championship, because they ain't winning.
It's not happening.
No, it's not going to happen. Because at some point, too, the unfortunate reality is he's not going to be as good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to happen. Unless he retires in 2 years, Sidney Crosby, I don't know if he's ever going to fall all the way off, but there will be a time, if he keeps playing, where he's not going to be a point-per-game player again. And then it becomes that much harder to win. But we do know it's not about money. Speaking of money... John Perotto wrote something about the Buccos. We'll talk about that coming up next. First, though, it's Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.